Good morning. Y'all awake? Good, I'm glad you are. Welcome to our service this morning. At the end of the pews on the inside, there's a thing that looks like this. Can somebody tell me what this is? It's a green book. What's it for? No, it's not to donate. That comes later. What's it for? Right, so if you will find the hand clasp pad in the center and write your name in it and pass it down, it would be greatly appreciated. You may also write prayer requests, and those will be translated into the printed word in our services. Or you can write praise notes. It can be used for a lot of things. We do have some announcements today. They were on the screen prior to service. What is happening right after service today? Dinner. Soup and sandwich and all the accoutrements that go with it. It is the thank offering for Presbyterian women. Our area has received that offering several times. It is an offering that then is used around the world in multiple ways. So you can donate for the thank offering. There is vegetable soup, vegetable beef soup, and chicken tortilla soup. And there are to-go containers, should you need that. What's happening Thursday night at our church? Community dinner. There's a theme here. Community dinner. It is from 5:30 till 7, and I think it's Thanksgiving dinner. So it's a free dinner to come and celebrate with the people around you and join us from 5:30 to 7 for community dinner. If you choose to get up early next Sunday morning, what's happening? What? Breakfast for the men. And they will let a woman or two come along. And so please join them in for their breakfast service. That will be greatly appreciated. Other announcements you'll find in the bulletin, well, what we used to have as a bulletin, the worship page. Tuesday mornings, Presby Women. Tuesday evenings, Presby Men. And there's also some important upcoming events. There is on the 23rd of November, if you're crafty, you can bring your crafts and donate those, and they can be used to help with the building fund. If you're not crafty, you can come and buy items that somebody else has crafted and enjoy those in your home. And then always the great celebration that we have on the Sunday evening before Thanksgiving. And what is that? Thanksgiving dinner. Please come and join us for Thanksgiving dinner. Once again, the program will highlight what used to be it's the Children's Home Alliance. We ask you to please bring girls' body wash and shampoo. They're children, so boys and girls, body wash and shampoo to help donate to offset. You also have found in your stapled page. The stapled page is important for the upcoming election of elders. It's a little snippet of the individuals on who are going to be proposed as elders. And there's a page about ordering your poinsettias. Now is the time. We are very glad you are here. We are very glad you have joined us for worship this morning.
Turn to page 592 in Pew Bible, Psalm 98, 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the north have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with the music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing.
With trumpets and the blast of ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King.
Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy.
Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity.
Let us confess our sins. We are so easy confused by what the Lord tells us,
watching God, that we forget the stories of faith we heard as children. We are so fearful of tomorrow. We are not aware of your Spirit with us today. We are so busy wondering what if, or suppose, we cannot hear the promises you whisper to us. So once again, gracious God, have mercy on us. You know our hearts so well. Touch them with your grace. You see our deepest fears. Heal them with your peace. You hear our secret longings. Speak to them of your hope. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Water is an ever-flowing item in some areas of the world, but water is also missing in many areas of the world. We need water to live. We need water to thrive. This water is a symbol of the water Jesus washed us in and gave us life everlasting. Amen. Let's affirm our faith.
The one who searches our broken hearts has found the way to mend them
and make us new people. The good news is that everything God has done in Christ is for us, that we might be made whole. With kindness and with justice, God makes us new people. We will sing our thanks through all eternity. Great is God, and greatly to be praised.
Praise the Lord.
Has a tradition of sharing these candles that cannot be lit with people and congregations. It is a candle to remind us of God's peace and the freedom we have in Christ. Please take this moment to tell those around you you love them and peace to them today. Peace.
I just have ice for grandma.
Good morning. The scripture lesson is from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 15, and continuing on to verse 9 of chapter 2, which you'll find on page 937 of your pew Bible. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Zadok, to the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? That does not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the son of Zadok, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I have covenanted with you to do when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains with you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in its place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The word of God for the people of God.
He did a great job with all those names. Children, come on down. We don't have a refrigerator or a car, but we do have a children's story.
Thank you.
for volunteering, kinda. Children's sermons are important because they relate the sermon topic on a level that's different. Most of us enjoy the sermon of the children's sermon because we understand it more. We do need some volunteers to help with children's sermons. We'll help you, we'll give you ideas, we'll support you, but if you would be willing to take a Sunday to do the children's sermon, please tell Cheryl. Okay? If you will look at page 1172 in your pew Bible, put your finger there, and then turn to page 1042 in your pew Bible, or put the worship page or whatever you need to put there. 1172 and 1042. So Cheryl always needs information ahead of time to get it into publication. And she said, I need your sermon title by. And I sent it to her. And later in the day, when I had an opportunity to check my email again, she said, I really need your sermon title. And I said, I sent it. And she said, you did? What is it? And I said, gotcha. And she said, I thought you were just responding to my email. Semantics are important, just as the semantics of the meaning of these readings today. If you'll look in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the church. Actually, he's warning and admonishing and reminding the church. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 5, and then 13 through 17, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered in him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecies, report, or letters supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed and the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? In verse 13, but we ought to always thank God for you, brethren, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you could share it in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word, mouth, or letter. And now look over at Luke. This passage in Luke has held a lot of teachings going on that day. Jesus' authority was questioned. There's the parable of the tenants. There's about paying taxes to Caesar. And in this passage, the Sadducees are going to try to trick Jesus yet again. The old teachers that we know about that were really causing challenges for Jesus were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The one very unique thing about the Sadducees is their only gospel, the only truth, the only beliefs they had were from the Torah. They only believed the writings of the Torah. The Pharisees were learned men and educated people. They were men in that day. They were educated people, and these people believed not just the Torah, but also the Psalms and the Proverbs and the other writings that were known to be holy writings, but not the Sadducees. They stayed only to the Torah. And so it's important, the beginning of this passage in Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and he leaves a wife with no children, that man has to marry the widow. His brother has to marry the widow and have children for his brother. So this first one married and died and leaves the wife. And then there are seven more brothers. He marries and dies childless, the second, and then the third married her. And the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman dies too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, responded, "Well said, teacher," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. So what the Sadducees were having was a got you moment. They didn't believe in the resurrection because it wasn't written in the Torah. What makes up the Torah? So what are the first five books of the Old Testament? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And then that in those five books, those are the books of the law and the law teachings, but it doesn't talk about the resurrection because at that time there wasn't an understanding or belief of that. As life went on and as the solves and the problems and the writers wrote, that began to be part of the teaching and part of our understanding and part of our belief. So the Sadducees, not believing in a resurrection, posed this question to Jesus. What was their purpose? Did they really want an answer? What did they want? They wanted to embarrass him. They wanted to trick him. They wanted to cause rancor. Does that ever happen in our world today? People don't ask gotcha questions, do they? As a child, did you ever ask a gotcha question to your parent? Did you? Some are good, some aren't. We always had gotcha questions. The best one was we would ask one parent something to do that we thought was unlikely, and that parent would be distracted, and that parent would say, go ask the other parent. And that parent would also be distracted, so we as children decided that meant yes. But it was a gotcha question. It was a gotcha because they were distracted. Do we as adults ask gotcha questions? We'll come back to that. So they had a gotcha question, and they proposed there's this guy, and he marries this lady, and he has seven other brothers. And they don't have any children, and he dies. So because of the law, they have to marry the next brother and the next one. Now at the fourth, what would we begin to wonder? We'd begin to investigate her resources and what's the purpose of this and who's killing whom. And those brothers evidently just guilelessly kept marrying her. That was intriguing. At the end, they all die, all of them, and there's no kids. And the gotcha question is, who's married to who in heaven? Now, Jesus reframed that question wonderfully. He said, he didn't answer it. He just said, well, here now, y'all get married and don't get married. But in the other, we're not going to do that. That's not what we're about. And then he circled back around and he said, and God is not the God of dead. He's the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac because they live forever and they are living even now. And who cheered that question? Who cheered that answer? The opponents, the Pharisees cheered that answer. In our world, there are got you moments. There are moments, even I would propose, because in my life as a Christian, there are gotcha moments that I have with Christ and God. And as God says, or as I feel God's urging to do something, I say, oh, come on, I'm tired. I have all this list of things to do. I'll teach Sunday morning. I'll do this. And I don't respond back to the got you as Christ did by reframing. Look over in Thessalonians. These poor people, they were scared witless. There had been a rumor started that the second coming had already come, and they had missed it. Do we hear false teachings all the time? On Twitter, on Facebook, on hashtag, on Snapchat, on the news, on the internet. We have lots of opportunities to hear partial truths. They had a letter. They had talkings. They had teachings. And it got them so disturbed. It created such a disturbance in their soul that Paul had to say, it's okay. They were having a got you moment. They had been stirred up and thought they had missed it. This was soon after Jesus' death. It's a new church. They're looking for the second coming constantly because they think it's going to happen immediately. Thousands of years now, are we still looking for the coming of Christ? And every once in a while, is there a news report that he's come or hasn't come or is coming on this day or appeared over here? There are. There's lots of false teachings and lots of false witnesses. So how do you anchor yourself so that you're not got? You read scripture? How do you anchor yourself so that you're not got? That's right, Jesus. And we communicate through prayer and scripture and through communing. But we're all the time checking, and I want you to hear that to keep a got you from happening, and spiritual got yous are the worst kind because we're led astray. We're led down a path that causes such destruction. Always go back to your center. Always go back to your Bible. Always go back to your prayer life, and then check what everyone says to you. It's important to do that. So we have the Sadducees trying to do a got you moment with Jesus. We have other believers who have been led astray doing a got you moment to other believers. Well, if you look in Haggai, which is not a book that a lot of sermons are preached out of, but if you look in Haggai, here's Haggai telling the people, you guys went back. You were saved. You went back to this wonderful land and your temple gets destroyed. And we ask you to rebuild this temple and we've asked you to rebuild this temple and it's still sitting there. And we know you're busy, and we know you've got sheep to shear and bread to bake and things to do, but it's still sitting there, and it's God's temple, and you say God is important to you. What is your problem? And then they're reminded that God still shakes the earth, and events still happen, and all the gold and silver is God's. Now, why is it important that we know that all the gold and silver is God's regarding the temple? What does that tell us about our everyday life? God's in control and God provides. And so I had a very sweet patient, Friday. I had a very sweet patient Friday who was very sad and desperately wanted to travel to Jersey to see her children. But she said, they're just so busy. They're just so busy. And they work so much, and they have so many things going on in their lives, and I don't want to be in their way, and they're just so busy. And we spoke and reminded each other that everybody has 24 hours. Everybody has 60 minutes and 60 seconds. And God is in control. And that God wants us to walk in God's faith and to follow God's guidance. And she, as a parent, was guided to go see this child. And I said, so call him and say, I'm coming this day, or this day. You choose, I'm coming. You don't have to be there. I'll just sit in your house and pray for you. But I'm coming. And she did it as we sat there in the room together. Haggai was reminding, God is control. This is God's temple. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but be active. be a part of it. It was a gotcha moment of reminding of God's control, but God's wealth. God gives us everything. All is God's. The gotcha is God is with us in all of those things, in every moment of the day. So the Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus and saying, who's going to be married in heaven? Jesus says, it doesn't really matter. We have life everlasting. As I was preparing for this and studying, one scripture says, actually, eternal life begins at the belief in Christ. And so we are living our eternal life. It will look different at a different point, but we are part of our eternal life. And so to ask who's married in eternal life is to say who's married today. That was the trick question that God jumped over. The Thessalonians had had a gotcha moment because people, believers, had said, you missed it. You missed it. You slept through it. Did you not know it happened? And they're terrified because their belief system has been rattled. And Paul says, go back to what you read we send you. Don't listen to anybody else. I'm reminding you of what we said to you. And Haggai says, God asked you to rebuild the temple and you haven't done it yet. What's the problem? Well, we're busy. We're tired. We've got to do this. And Haggai says, it's God's temple. And everything in it and everything needed for it is there. And they rebuilt God's temple. Our world today is full of gotcha moments. The red light got me. My alarm clock got me. My lack of doing something the night before got me. That last TV show got me. I forgot the recipe got me. We all have gotcha moments. I need to take the dog for a walk. I need to clean my room. I need to stay open after for work. I got to make sandwiches or soup. We all have gotcha moments. We have relationship gotchas. We have life gotchas. But what is not the gotcha moment is who Christ is in your life. Christ is the steady force. Christ is always with us. Christ continues to uphold us in hard days and hard times. That is the gotcha moment. Just as we caught Luke, and Luke was brave enough to fall because he knew we would catch him, Christ catches us every day, all day long, throughout the day. Will there be nastiness? Yes. Will there be sadness? Yes. Will there be hard times? Yes. But who has us? God. God always has us. Arms outstretched, everything in the world with him. So look at Psalms 99. The Psalms are our place we go to be uplifted, to be reminded. In Psalms 98 that we read this morning says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. So right now, I want you to shout out loud one marvelous thing in the last 24 hours in your life. Ready, set, shout. Thank you. Marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm have worked salvation. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed, his righteousness to all nations, and his faithfulness to the house of Israel, to our house, to us. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Well, as you go out today, whether it's to have soup and sandwich, whether it's to go shopping, whether it's to do whatever, you are the Christ that some people will see. You're the only Christ. You're the way to salvation. Remember that. Gotcha's important. Sing for joy to the Lord of all the earth and space, of the desert and the mountains, of the tundra, of the oceans, to Charlotte and Huntersville and Monroe, all the earth. He is the Lord of all the earth. Make music to the Lord. Let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together. Let them sing before the Lord, because he's come to us to judge the earth. The got you is, who has you? Who has you guys? Who has you? Thank you. God has us. But I want to know, who do you have? Who is it that you're lifting in prayer? Jesus. Who has you? Who do you have that you're praying for and you're loving and you're smiling and you're saying a kind word to and you're doing a deed for? Who do you have? And who is calling you? Who is God asking you to be a part of their life? Where does God want you? That is the question. There are lots of places we can be and lots of things we can be about. But the Psalms reminds us, and Luke reminds us, and Thessalonians reminds us, and Haggai reminds us that God has us. But then Christ reminds us that we are to be about Christ's business. We are to be the gotcha for the people around us. Not the mean gotcha, but the catching and loving and kind got you. So this week, think about, as you go through your day, as you drive, as you work, as you eat, as you shop, who is watching you and who needs you? Who do you have? Who do you got? Who would you like us to pray for today? We need specially today to pray for the people who made a great sacrifice and left their home and served our country, because tomorrow's an important day, Veterans Day. So today we pray for the veterans and those who are currently serving. Yes, Mr. Luke. Husband, and he did pass away, so Luke would like us to pray for his family. And yes, Aiden. Okay, so that's Aiden's political comment. Join the Air Force. Anyone else that you'd like for us to pray for?
We would like to thank Sandy and her crew for last night.
Last night was a
best and wonderful.
Wonderful Veterans Day dinner, thanks to Sandy and her crew. Yes, ma'am. Yes, that is an answer to prayer of a new heart and the medical care he's received. We have people that we love and we care about that are going through some pretty significant health issues. Please continue to pray for them. Please continue to pray that we will be Christ to the world around us, Please continue to pray for the PNC as they're looking for a person who will help our congregation continue as we minister in this area. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for veterans, men and women who selflessly left home and their family and went to serve. Thank you for those who returned, and thank you for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and their families who pressed on remembering them. Thank you for answered prayers of health, and we continue to pray for people as they are having such dire issues with health. Thank you for release from health issues as we go to your eternal life, but we are reminded of family waiting here in sadness and sorrow as they miss those they love. Help us, God, to have wise words as Jesus did when people try to trick us. Help us, God, to not be led asunder as the Thessalonians were, but to continue to go back to your word to anchor ourselves. Thank you for Haggai, who charged up the people and reminded them that it's God's temple and God's given them all they needed to rebuild it. Give us the song that the Psalms brings to us. Thank you, God. Amen. Let's do the prayer for the people. Pray with us as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Luke, now is the offering time that you asked about earlier.
Oh, bring our gifts to your altar. Knowing your presence with us transcends our time on earth. You are the God of the living, right here and in your heavenly kingdom. As we give, we pray that our gifts will be used for compassion, justice, and reconciliation. We pray that we might see a glimpse of your heavenly kingdom right here in our earthly days. We pray this in the name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
We go out into the world as God's people.
We will not be afraid to trust in God's future.
Now, go out as followers of Jesus.
We will not falter in bringing justice and hope to all.
And now, we go out as gifted by the Spirit.
We will not fear, but will journey into the days ahead.